It's not like looking at a screen of color through your phone or anything like that. It's true color coming from the sunlight through that beautifully mouth-blown glass. So it is a very addictive thing.
Hi, my name is Cindy Yunan. You're listening to episode one of my podcast, Glassworks, a podcast in which talented stained glass artists from around the world share their stories, inspirations, and tips for working with stained glass. Stained glass is a beautiful, versatile medium, and it's experiencing a revival around the world. Today, I'm interviewing Anahita Hisami. Anahita has been working with stained glass since 2006, when she was first introduced to it by chance, thanks to a terrible storm that damaged the stained glass and the windows of her family home. She owns a busy glass studio called Cut Glass Studio in London, England, where she creates incredible stained glass works of art for architectural projects. In our discussion, Anahita gives us a glimpse into what her life is like running a commercial stained glass business. She shares the highs and lows she's experienced since first opening her shop, including exciting opportunities she's had to collaborate with other renowned artists. She even shares a few handy tips on how to work with stained glass, which I, for one, can certainly use. What is evident from speaking to Anahita is that entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. It takes grit, ambition, a lot of love, and dedication. So when you look at her Instagram account, and feel a hint of jealousy at her breathtaking talent, keep in mind that behind all the glamour, she has put in countless hours of hard work and a lot of sacrifice into mastering her craft. She'll tell us all about it now. One more thing before we jump in. Anahita is recording out of her glass studio. Her team has a tight deadline to meet, and they're busy working in the background. You might hear some light background noise here and there. Let's get started. I'd love for you to tell us about your journey up until you opened your glass studio. What was your childhood like? Where did you grow up? And what were your interests?
I mean, I think I had a very normal childhood. I've been very blessed to have a very tight-knit family who've stayed as a solid unit forever. So I have no comment really about my upbringing. It's just a very normal brother and sister, mum and dad. And then myself in the middle, and happiness basically is all I can think of when I think of my upbringing. And then when I was about 11, we moved to London. I was brought up mainly in the East Midlands, a place called Loughborough, which is where my father had done his PhD. So I think that's why we naturally navigated there when we returned to the UK from Iran. So when we came to London, I was put into the schooling system here, and I learned the harsh reality of living in a city quite quickly. And then by the time I got to secondary school, I'd fully adapted and had made some good friends and have carried those through to now in my late 30s. Upbringing wise, I mean, I have no complaints, nothing negative to say. I've been a very blessed human being.
And was it difficult for you to move from Iran to the UK? Was it a big change?
I don't really know. I was very, very young when we relocated back to the UK. I think the only reason why my parents spent so much time in Iran was that there were sanctions put against on the country because it was towards the end of the revolution. They were just unable to leave. So as soon as those sanctions were lifted, they decided that they would skip as fast as they could to come back to the UK. I think mainly because, they'd had two children, my brother and I, and my mum is English. She knew, and my father, obviously, having done his schooling here, they knew that we'd have a better life over here. So I'm very grateful. But it was not my decision. I have travelled back and forth to Iran since leaving quite a lot. I've always been in the UK, essentially. I think it was about one or two when we came here. So I'm very, very British as they come, to be honest.
And you said that you travel a lot to Iran. Do you get your inspirations from there? Or are you going there for work, or do you go for leisure?
I literally only go to Iran to see my family and to travel the country and explore my heritage.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. I would love to go there.
It's possibly one of the most amazing places I've visited on earth. It's kind of like the only place I've been that's not really been touched by Western culture. So it really is like experience something else, you know, rather than going somewhere and seeing the same shops and the same culture that you're used to at home.
My husband went and he's shown me lots of beautiful photos. Iran was maybe next on my list, but of course, with COVID, it may be difficult. We'll see.
Yeah.
How and when did you start working with stained glass? Is it something you started in your adult years or were you interested in it when you're younger?
No, I'd never really thought about it at all, to be honest. It was a gentleman that came out to do some work on my parents' home when we did move to London and they finally bought our family home. A gentleman came out to do some work on it as my parents were deciding to kind of bring it back to its former glory. And so after there was a big storm that damaged a lot of the windows in the house, my mother decided to use part of the insurance money and then put in on top of it to reinstall all the stained glass in the house that had been taken out and was missing. So throughout that process, the gentleman that I met that came to do that work on my parents' home ended up offering me a job. So that's literally how I got into the trade. It was never something that was on my agenda or that I even thought about, to be honest. I hadn't even considered it as a job that was available until I saw this gentleman fitting these windows into my parents' home. It was just, it was a total eye-opener for me then. So that was probably in about 2006 when I was just finishing my degree at university.
Wow. So this gentleman was working on the home and he offered you a job.
Yeah, my mum kind of sat me down with him and said, this is the artist in the family and she'll talk to you about the kind of design and colourways that we should put in the windows for the house. And so we kind of got to talking that way. And then when he came back to fit the windows, I'd shown so much interest in, because obviously I'd seen the first part of the journey where we'd sat there scribbling and discussing colourways to what, you know, he'd brought to fit in the house. And I was just amazed. So yeah, it was just from me showing interest and asking so many questions. And obviously that he knew I was an art student. So he needed somebody to take over from another girlie there whose visa was running out. So he offered the position to me. He said, bring me your portfolio when you graduate and we'll talk. And so I did.
Wow, what a journey.
Yeah, I think those kind of things are better than planned journeys.
Oh, absolutely. There are many times where we just fall into something and we realize we love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Does the artistic creativity and talent, does that run in your family?
Well, my mother was a pottery teacher, but she spent most of her life in special needs, head of Senko. My auntie is a very accomplished artist in Iran, but not my blood. So she's married to my uncle. So I can't say yes or no to that. I don't really know. I think we are creative for sure. My grandfather was a poet, but my father is a scientist and a very logical thinker. All three of us kids have become creatives. My brother is a graphic designer. I'm a stained glass artist. My sister is currently doing a PhD in the New School in New York in the arts. So we all have pursued that. So maybe so. I don't really think of things like that.
Yes, you are absolutely a creative family.
Yeah, I mean, we're very open-minded. And I think being a mixed-race family and having lots of different influence in the house and Iran being a place where aesthetic is possibly one of the largest draws. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Absolutely. Back to talking about this gentleman that came to your home to install the windows and the doors. When people think of stained glass, I think that's exactly what they envision. They envision maybe the stained glass that you typically see in churches or the designs our parents might have on their front doors. But I think that there's an increasing interest in modern stained glass. So what do you think? Can you tell us about the style? Are you seeing the same thing? Do you think there's more of an interest in that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I started experimenting a lot within my studio when I first started out because I was not busy. You know, nobody who first starts a business is busy. So I spent a lot of time with my offcuts building things for my own pleasure. And then people started introducing me to the idea of Facebook and Instagram. When I started sharing those things, the things that were outside of kind of the remit of work, it started opening up people's eyes, especially, I mean, this was the feedback that I got, that they were like, oh, I didn't know that kind of thing was possible. Look at that. That looks really cool. And then people started contacting me to collaborate off the back of those kind of experimental pieces that I was making out of my offcuts. And since then, yes, I have noticed a huge increase in people exploring and collaborating with different types of artists from different platforms and pushing the boundaries of the craft much further than I'd seen before, which is great. Yeah, I think it's really good. I think the whole industry has had a little bit of a facelift and far more people are interested in it. Lots more people hobbying in it. There's an awful lot of people on a lot of the social media platforms making little hangings and funny little caricature things. And there's lots of people doing that. So I think more so than people doing it as a career choice like myself, where it's a commercial business where you're making architectural pieces. There's a lot of kind of very good makers making these really kind of cool caricature things that are fun. But yeah, I do think there's been a huge increase in the interest towards stained glass and everything to do with it, to be honest, which is great.
It's great. I think it really needed a revival and it seems to be happening now. I've seen a lot of what you're talking about, lots of beautiful things that hobbyists are making in trendy colors and cool designs. And your Instagram is absolutely fantastic. And I love your work. And that's the main reason I reached out to you. I saw your pieces. You have this one incredible circular piece. I think you've hung it on a window or maybe you've put it into a window and it has the geometric designs. And there's one photo of you where you're holding it. It has black and white colors and a bunch of different colors. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
It might be the Peter Blake Dazzle Discs.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Has it got a pink square center?
It does.
Yeah, so that is it, yeah.
Before we go on, can you share your Instagram handle for anybody that wants to see your work?
It's just my name is Anahita Hesami, which is not easy to spell. AnahitaHesami. It's all one word.
Just one word. Okay. Who asked for that piece? Can you tell us about this project?
So it's a collaboration between myself and a pop artist called Sir Peter Blake. And it's one of his screen prints called the Dazzle Disc. And as far as I know, this kind of pattern has been used on boats and Bentleys and buses and all manner of things. And he also wanted to explore what it would look like in glass. And then I took him along some samples and was astounded that he genuinely wanted to meet me to discuss it himself. So that was insane, getting to meet him and just have a discussion about glass color. And he loved the pieces that I brought along, felt that they were an interpretation of the colors that he'd had in mind. And then I made one of them and took it along to deliver. And then they asked us to make a whole edition of them. So it then became an edition of 50. So I think we're about halfway through the edition, and it's every now and then we get an inquiry, somebody wants to buy one. So we make some more. So yeah, it's just ongoing until the 50 are made.
Sounds like a dream job, to be honest. You get to work with artists, you get to be creative, and you get to do really cool things.
Yes, indeed. Most definitely the best kind of fun.
So how would you describe then your style of work for stained glass?
I'm not really sure that I've defined my style just yet. I'm a designer, so I spend most of my time designing things for other people's homes to a remit. It's very unusual for someone to just say to me, just make me a window. I don't care what it looks like. I just want whatever comes to your mind. So there's always a brief as such. And I spend absolutely no time building for myself. So I can't say that I've developed a particular style that's my own yet, because everything I do is always in mind that it's a commercial job that's going to go somewhere. So yeah, there's lots of things that I make that I don't personally like, but are very popular. And I appreciate that. And as a designer, you kind of have to be adaptable. You have to be able to design in a nouveau style and a modern style and a whatever style somebody asks you for, basically. So, you know, that's the main thing for me is to not become too entrenched in who I am, because I'm essentially a service for everybody else. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not building pieces to hang in art galleries with my name on them. Those pieces are generally collaborations with other artists, and they're hanging because of the other artist's name, if that makes sense.
It does.
I generally prefer to build windows that have a purpose, and I'm going to go and adorn a beautiful building and do what they're supposed to do and be enjoyed by somebody. You know, that's for me the main pleasure in what I do.
Tell me, Anahita, let's say I wanted to get something done for my home, I wanted to get the windows done or whatever it is, what's the process? Do I bring you a project? Do I bring you ideas, inspirations, or do I bring you a picture of what I want? How does that work?
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, lots of people approach projects with me in different ways. Some people text me for work and, you know, they send me a size and what they want and I'll make it and they're happy as Larry. And then other people don't really know what they want. They just know that they want something that's this kind of color or has this kind of feeling. And then I have to do some drawing and we kind of get there in the end. And some people are very free and they just give me a very rough, like, I would like a Victorian style window. And then, you know, I'll do a design for them. And 9 times out of 10, I get it right, thankfully, and the customer's happy with what I've designed. But then, you know, there are times where we go back and forth, we change the design, I start the design completely again. So it really depends.
What do you love about working with stained glass? And what are some of the challenges?
I don't even know what I love about it. To me now, it's just something that I just kind of have to do. Like if I don't make a window in a while, I get a little kind of withdrawal symptoms.
You're addicted.
I don't know what it is. I took to it really well. And I think when you're good at doing something, it's far more enjoyable for obvious reasons, because it comes easy to you. I've always been good with color. And I'd never considered, my second degree was in surface design. So I was always into pattern and the treatment of color and placement, all of those kind of things, but never really been given the opportunity to explore that. And when I started working with stained glass, it's a very magical format. When you make a window and then see it with the light coming through it, and you've made it out of mouth-blown glass, you know, the reflections that you get, the feelings that you get from it, you know, it's all so true. It's, you know, it's not like looking at a screen of color through your phone or anything like that. You know, it's true color coming from the sunlight through that beautifully mouth-blown glass. So it is a very addictive thing. So I defy anyone to try their hand at it and not enjoy it.
And you're right, it's absolutely addictive. I was speaking with a glass artist in Jalisco, Mexico, not too long ago, and he said something very similar to you. He had gone to school for art as well, and he said what drew him to stained glass was the potency of the colors, because they're so brilliant. And while he had started off painting, he switched over to stained glass because he just loved how vibrant the colors were.
Yeah, there's nothing that matches it, really.
There really isn't. No. I'm not by no means a professional stained glass artist. And so I constantly have to hold the glass up to the windows and I hold them side by side to see what it will look like. And it's sort of this, you know, constant thing that I have to do. I don't know if that gets better with time, but I imagine you get better at knowing what it will look like when it's on the table versus held up to a window.
Yeah, for sure. Once you've made a good few hundred windows, it'll be very normal.
Oh, only 100? Okay.
Few hundred, for sure. You know, the more you work with anything, the more natural it becomes.
Tell me more about your glass studio. What prompted you to open it up? And I want to know how you felt on the day that you opened it.
Well, I didn't feel good, put it that way. I mean, it wasn't something that I ever wanted to pursue. It's not my lifelong dream to run a business, for sure. Like, I'd rather be working for somebody else, if I'm entirely honest. It's a much easier way of life. You know where you're at what time of day, and you know what time you finish. I started up out of a necessity to pay my mortgage, And it having been at a time where I fell out with the boss that I had, and he never wanted to employ me formally. And I, you know, I had a mortgage to pay, and I had things that I, you know, responsibilities in my life, and he was haphazardly paying me. And it was the only skill I had, because it, you know, the past four or so years worth of experience were in his studio and working for other stained glass studios. So no one was willing to accept any of my prior experience, which was in management, in the hospitality and catering sector. So because it was kind of what they would say out of date, you know, it's whatever you've been doing apparently for the past three to five years that's the most relevant. So I was like, okay, well, this is what I've been doing. I've been a craftswoman. And it meant that I couldn't get a role in the current art market in any way, because I can't work on the computer. And everything I was doing is essentially an old-fashioned skill, hand skill, craft. I don't know how you want to explain it, but it wasn't relevant to any of the roles that are on offer. So yeah, I couldn't get a job, and I needed to earn money, and it was what I knew. So I did whatever I could, and I found somebody to share a studio with. And then I literally had a 1 meter square bench to start off with. And I just went out there and I started advertising on Gumtree and anywhere that I could that was as cheap as possible, so that I could try and get some work in. And from having worked in the industry for the years that I had, I knew all the local companies that to go where I would buy the putty from, or where I would buy my glass from. And they all gave me jobs. They all passed work my way. Everyone kind of gave me a helping hand. And then eventually it just kind of organically came into itself. But that took about 5 years for sure. I mean, the first 3 years were really, really difficult. There were periods where I didn't earn a penny for maybe 6 months or so. You know, it's really the kind of industry that people are only going to invest their trust in to you if you have a nice large portfolio to show them. And obviously I've been working for other studios for the past 4 years, then I don't have my own portfolio and I can't show them essentially really the work I've been doing elsewhere. So it was only a few bits that I'd made for myself in my own home, and this, that and the other that I had to show in my portfolio that I was showing these first few customers that I had. So there wasn't, I couldn't really tell you what day it was that I opened. You know, it didn't really happen like that. I didn't get a shop and then open my doors on the 20th of February. You know, it didn't happen in that kind of fashion. It kind of just happened out of a need and my circumstance and what was in my heart. Like, I wanted to do it, but I was aware that it wasn't going to immediately help me out. So I ended up just borrowing lots of money and going with my gut, doing whatever I could to make it work. And this is 12 years later. So I did it.
You did it. Wow. And you know what, Anahita, I think you touched on something very important here. When people look at your work, when they look at your Instagram account and they see you, you know, or your portfolio online, and they see all this glamorous looking work that you're doing, what they don't see is all of the hard work and risk that you've taken and what you've put into building this business.
Huge amounts, yeah. This is my life. I mean, I don't have a husband and I don't have any children and I'm approaching my 40s. So, I mean, if that doesn't say how much I've kind of gone without because I put far too much time into my work, then that's it really. I mean, there's nothing more that I want than husband and a family and people there backing me, but I'm constantly here, I'm constantly working, I'm constantly, it is 24/7 running your own business. It's difficult. And then to have spent all of those formative years struggling and working towards a goal like this, where you have a business that is fluid and there's always work and you don't have the financial stress and worry, to then not have any energy left and then to be like, oh God, I've really got to keep up with it now, you know? That's the hard bit, is to keep yourself going without your marching band behind you, you know?
I get it. Yeah. And being a business owner is a very hard thing. My husband was an entrepreneur for a long time, and I've seen that the highs and lows, and there really are both.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you've read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
I haven't. No.
He talks about the 10,000 hour rule. And the gist of it is that when you put in those 10,000 hours, that's when you're really, you know, above expert level. You've mastered whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Okay, interesting.
So maybe that's those few hundred window panes that you're talking about.
Yeah, maybe so. That's what I'm right. saying. You know, it really did take me probably 5 or 6 years to be very good, you know. It's not an easy or quick thing to master. I mean, it's something that you can learn how to do in a weekend, but to do it well, there really are very minimal people doing it to a high standard.
Myself, I'm at the point where I am working on scoring my glass and trying to cut it as straight as possible with those running pliers. And it's really challenging.
I've never used a pair of those in my life.
Get out. What do you use?
You just use your cutter and your hands and your grozing pliers.
Your hands. Yes. I tried that. It really didn't work. Do you use a glass grinder?
No, I've never used a grinder.
Okay. Well, you are truly, truly talented.
But you need to be able to just work with your cutter and your pliers. You'll get there. No running pliers. No. If you snap things with your hands, they snap a lot cleaner and nicer than they do with running pliers or with any pliers or any tapping or anything. So when you score something nicely, if you just give yourself enough on the edge so that you're not having tiny pieces that you need to snap off, you'll find it'll be a lot easier.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that.
You'll get a lot more wastage, but then you can try and use those bits maybe on some smaller pieces in the window or something. But for practicing, you need to just get yourself some rubbish glass that you don't mind throwing in the bin instantly and just stand there and cut yourself some strips and just score and snap. Just do it over and over again until you're really comfortable with it. And you'll find that you'll start feeling the place in your hands where you rest it and where it snaps best. And that's how you'll learn that what you're working with is really fluid. So it's just as malleable as your hands are, even though it's a solid thing. So it's a really strange thing to explain. But if you really get into what you're doing and understand and appreciate the medium that you're working with, you can really feel what you're doing in your fingertips. You know when you're going to break something. You know if it's going to go right or wrong the moment that you apply the pressure and the score goes. So that's what you want to achieve. And I know it seems really mundane and, oh God, really? Am I learning anything? But repetitiveness is the best way to learn in this trade, in my opinion. It's just to do things over and over again until it just becomes a natural motion.
Okay, I'm 100% going to have to do that. And I think what you're saying is you have to feel the glass. You have to feel it. You have to be one with the glass.
Yeah, basically, without sounding too corny. Yeah.
I'm very corny. I can't help it. You've also convinced me I have to come in and do a workshop with you one of these days. You know, the next time I'm in London.
If you're in London, if you find Tottenham Hotspur's football ground, we're just down the road.
You know what? I will make it my goal to come see you one of these years. It'll
happen. Yeah, that'd be great.
My last question, looking back at your journey, are you happy with where you are today? Are you happy at how things turned out? You weren't happy the day you opened your studio, but looking back, are you just glad you did it?
Oh, that's a hard question. I am glad I did it. I'm glad I stuck with it through the hard times because there's been a lot of my peers that I've grown up with, people around me that I've witnessed start businesses and give up at the hard times. And I was fortunate enough to have an encouraging family and people who could financially support me through the times that I couldn't generate income sufficiently. And I've paid all that money back and that feels good. From what I've learned, I'm very grateful because I never did any business studies. I was purely an art student. So I learned a lot about running business and I've learned a lot about other human beings. And I've learned a lot about who I am because especially since expanding my business and then having to take staff on, It's a whole different gamut to being on your own in your workshop and getting things done at your own pace and as and when you want. So yeah, I would say yes, it's definitely been worth it. And it's to be sitting, I mean, this amazing studio I have today, from what I started out in and essentially was a cupboard, my first studio that was mine, it was a storage unit that I shared with the landlord of the factory. So, I mean, it was, you know, I'm hugely grateful that I've managed and that we've gotten to this point. And this is my whole life. Yeah, I mean, I spend most of my time at work because it's a pleasurable environment, not because I'm always working. So that's nice. And I do thoroughly enjoy what I do. So I do appreciate how blessed I am to be able to pursue a career in something that I do truly enjoy. So yeah, I would say yes to that. It's worth all the hardship, it's worth all the hard work, because at the end of the day, I can sit down and be proud of what I'm doing and love what I'm doing. And I appreciate that that makes me a very blessed human being. So no complaints.
I love your honesty, and I want you to know I admire your work, and you should be so proud of all you've accomplished. Thank you very much. Because not a lot of people can do what you've done here.
No, I mean, I can't say that I've remained sane throughout the whole process, but I'm still here. So, yes, I don't think many people should do what I've done. It's definitely not the best way of going about things, but a lot of people are just put off by the amount of hard work that needs to go into running a successful business.
This talk with you has been a real eye-opener, Anahita. So thank you so much for joining this call and for sharing your journey and your story and for telling us about some of your hardships and the highs and the lows.
Thanks very much for contacting me and your interest and everything. It's really humbling. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Glassworks with the talented stained glass artist Anahita Hisami from London, England. The next time you're in London, be sure to drop in to say hello at her studio, Cut Glass Studio. See her latest designs and follow her on Instagram at Anahita Hisami. I'll spell that for you. A-N-N-A-H-I-T-A-H-E-S-S-A-M-I. That's one word. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you can catch the latest episodes as they're released. If you like this podcast, please leave a review and share it. Thanks for listening.